Welcome to the Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with the Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, and I'm so excited to be here because I need you to smile.
I'm not a smiler type of guy. I like to be in my, you know, my suave, you know?
Oh, goodness gracious, this guy is fly. Okay, so this is episode 48, and it's been a minute since I've been on the podcast, so I'm just really happy to be back in my element, and I'm sure that you are feeling in your element as well. You guys, this is Lanis Clark. Okay, he is, I can't believe, if you haven't heard his name, you're almost like, you must be delusional, okay? Because he is a model, and then on top of that, not he's a young model, okay? He's a young individual from Sacramento doing big things, traveling, doing his thing, fashion, like he's just going at it, and I absolutely love it. I love seeing people around the same age just crushing it in anything that they do, and then on top of that, he's an aspiring doctor. So, you guys, welcome, Lanis, to the podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing, ladies and gents?
I love it. Okay, so talk about where you've been the last few months.
Honestly, the past few months, I've been kind of just been around kind of a country, kind of stepped out for a little bit doing some other things and, you know, just trying to do all the fashion weeks that I can and just keep it moving, keep it pushing and, you know, try to seek success wherever I can.
How'd you get into modeling?
That's actually a very, very, very funny story.
Oh, I love it.
So, first and foremost, I first want to actually give a couple shout-outs. So, actually from kids around the area. So, I don't know if you know who Alan Padilla is. Alan Padilla, local photographer. Shout-out to you if you're watching this, Alan. Noah Davis, also a local photographer. Shout-out to you, Noah, if you're watching this as well. Jesse Ewing, he's over in Paris, I believe, right now. He's doing his thing. And if I can remember correctly, and Yaki Gara, if you're watching this, wherever in the world you may be, shout out to you as well. So those four people I just mentioned, actually, when I was first kind of getting started, I just had kind of like the idea of it. They were the ones who were actually the first ones to actually take photos of me and were very open to it. I was like, okay, cool. So, but I mean, you want to hear the good stuff. So, the funny story is, I was about 18, and I was actually at a grocery outlet with my mom. And so, you know, I was, you know, doing the normal 18-year-old kid stuff, you know, sneaking gum.
Stealing, you know.
No, I'm just throwing it on the counter. Hey, I'm a good citizen. Do not try to tarnish my name like that.
Model citizen.
She's trying to tarnish my name.
I'm assuming you said what a normal 18-year-old does. I mean, are we not, like, do
we
not do
that? Hey, at 18, I could afford gum, believe it or not.
Okay, good.
But anyway, I was at a grocery outlet with my mom, and there was this lady standing behind us. So, I mean, so it's funny that pretty much all my family's pretty much light-skinned. It's like my brother, my mom, my dad, and just pretty much the whole lot.
Okay.
But I'm the only one who popped out dark. But mm-hmm. Here's the problem with that. Mm-hmm. So, there's this lady standing behind my mom. Mm-hmm. And she taps my mom on the shoulder, and she goes, "Excuse me, is that your son?" And I'm sitting there, like, my mom's kind of looking at this girl like crazy as hell. She's like, yeah. I mean, we're the only two people of somewhat color in this line. What do you think is going on here, right? Yeah. And so she goes, "Has your son ever considered modeling?" And here's me waving my hands behind her going, no, that's honestly, that's girly. No, that's not for me. No.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in motherly fashion, my mom goes, "I've always wondered how to get him into this. Yada, yada, yada." And I'm sitting there just thinking, "Mom, yo, like, relax. I don't know what you're doing. Just relax, relax, relax."
Yeah.
2 weeks later, I'm in this crazy lady's office taking headshots, profile shots, whatever it is, you name it. And after that, she goes like, "Yo, like, hey, like, I want you to try to audition for something." I'm like, "Okay, cool. So what's the deal?" So it's actually someone in San Francisco called the AAU Fashion Show. Mm-hmm. And what that was is, I believe there was about 200 to 250 models. Mm-hmm. And there were 13 designers. And what they did is, so they had like a casting, and what they did was they actually voted for their favorite models, their top models. Mm-hmm. And 9 out of the 13 picked me.
Whoa.
And from then on, it just kind of just progressed from all the way from, you know, San Francisco, Sacramento area to, you know, to further along.
So when you first originally started getting into it, were you kind of like, what the hell?
Oh,
did
yeah.
I just give myself into?
Absolutely.
What was the most uncomfortable or hardest thing to get used to?
Makeup.
Makeup?
I swear. Makeup. I am not a makeup kind of guy, believe it or not. Like, they come with a little powder thing, whatever. I try to avoid makeup at all costs. Like, for me, that's just the most uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
Like, huh. I just feel like it's almost, like, demasculating, so I try to just, like...
Yeah, I hear you. So, when you were doing it, did you find an initial attraction just right off the bat? Like, even before you got into before you met the lady, when you were just doing the photographs with those photographers and the visual artists that you were meeting, did you love it initially? Like...
In a way, I think I was in love with the vision of what it could become.
What was that vision?
Like I said, it was kind of like walking down the runway and things like that. Because like for me, I think I was actually chasing an insecurity. And what I mean when I say that is, when I was a younger kid, like kind of like my entire life, I was kind of, you know, tormented on how I looked. So from then up to pretty much 18, when I kind of started growing into myself and my looks kind of changed, it was like, whoa, okay, wait a second. So it's odd that I've been through all this like trauma throughout my entire life, and then the moment 18 hit, I'm like, wait a second, I'm getting attention from this girl, whatever, yada yada yada, and I'm like, maybe I actually kind of have a future in this. Because for me, it was, I remember I was actually in my AP English class as an 11th grader, and my favorite teacher, actually Mrs. Nancy Nolan, so if you're watching this, shout out to you, Mrs. Nolan. And she was asking kids in our class, like, yo, do you have any dreams or aspirations or anything that you want to do, you know, past college? And it was funny because, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I'm a very introverted, kind of timid person. So when I raised my hand, it was a big deal. In general, because like I wasn't the guy who liked to talk. But for me, actually being able to be confident and saying what my goals were or what I aspired to do was, I think, the biggest step for me. And I really noticed that I'm beginning to come into myself, and I can really start taking my dreams and like get them, like take them into fruition. Because I always wanted to be the coolest guy in the room. That was my dream since I was a little kid. Like, I
coolest, like coolest in a way that's, oh man, that guy's like laid back, he's funny, he's like, are you talking about personality cool, or are you talking about popularity cool?
I wanted all of it. Anything and everything to
do. You just want all the clout.
I just wanted to be that guy. Like, yeah. When I walked into a room, I wanted to be like, oh, he's, you know, he's tall, he's this, he's that, he can do anything and everything he wants, you know, and walk out just with everybody looking at him when he's walking in and everybody when he's looking at him when he's walking out.
Yeah. Do a lot of people that know that you want that?
I think a certain amount do.
Do you think they get that vibe when you walk into a room, like, oh, fuck that guy?
Maybe, because I just think it's part of my like personality is like I'm kind of aloof, and I kind of look like, oh god, this dude is so fucking mean, like he doesn't want anything to do with me, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But I think if you get to know me, like that's the exact opposite of my personality.
Yeah. And do you think that's a problem on your part or a problem on the outside part?
I'd actually say it might even be a problem on my part. Because I'm just not one of those people that is very outwardly with emotions. I'm just not good at conveying that vibe, like, oh my god, come talk to me. No, I'm just kind of like, I just think it's because I'm a very focused person. I know what I want. I'm here to do a certain thing, do that certain thing, and leave.
Yeah, I can understand why people may get that vibe. You know?
Yeah, no, it's... I don't know, I wish that's something about my personality I wish I could change, but...
You don't honestly think you can?
It's like I said, it's hard.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
So you just said you were chasing an insecurity when you were first initially going into modeling. Do you feel like you're a lot more confident because of it? Has your confidence grown?
Absolutely. In a lot of ways and more than one. I just think that I just like, how can I put this? I certainly do feel a lot more confident.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, there's things that I don't want people to perceive me as opposed to just being confident. Like the confidence, this is a great thing. I want people to perceive me as a very confident person.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, I don't want people to perceive me as with that confidence, take it one step, one notch further and be like, oh, he's actually arrogant. He's self-centered. He's all about himself. Because if I really, I'm sure we'll talk more and more about it,
mm-hmm.
but once you really understand the main reason why I actually got into modeling, I think it'll make a lot of sense for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why having a voice, I feel like, is so important. And on top of that, I mean, if you don't, we all don't want certain people to look at us. I feel like I'm way too, hello. Okay. I know that we all don't want like certain people to look at us a certain way. I don't want people to look at me like I'm selfish. You don't want people to look at you like you're a cocky asshole that doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
Just comes in and leaves. But our actions will always speak louder than what we are hoping for.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And like, regardless, people are gonna say that we're things anyway, because some people are spiteful. You do something that they don't like, just because they don't like it, they're gonna try to put dirt on your name and say that you're a certain type of person that you're not.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, like, you know, it is about the growth and getting better and transforming, like just how you grew the confidence thing. Like, I know how that feels. So it's a process for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you were 150% right about everything you just said.
Yeah. So also going into modeling, you've done it for, how old are you now?
I literally just turned 23 last week.
Woo! Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How do you feel? Old?
Older. 1 year older. 17 years before you.
Oh, God. You think about the numbers like that?
Oh, man.
That's funny. You know who also does that? Jesse Itzler. Do you know Jesse Itzler?
I have no idea who that is.
Do you listen to personal development?
I do not. You have to put me on.
Okay. Come on.
You got to.
But you know personal development, right?
I know what the two words mean. I don't know.
like reading books, like Jim Rohn, Dale Carnegie.
Well, I know who Jim Rohn is.
Yeah, people like that. Okay, so Andy Frisella, the MF CEO.
I do
the motherfucking
Andy
CEO.
Frisella, yeah.
Okay, so Jesse Itzler, he's married to Sarah Blakely. Have you ever seen Shark Tank? She's sometimes a guest on it. She's the founder of Spanx.
Aww.
I was just telling Izzy about this, how basically Jesse Itzler is like this intense guy that's obsessed with time. He wrote the book Living with the Navy SEAL with David Goggins, the really popular Navy SEAL that's
David
like
Goggins,
viral.
David Goggins.
Yeah, David Goggins lived with him.
Really?
Yeah, because he basically, they were running like a 24-hour mile race together.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they kind of, their worlds got intertwined. But Jesse was really fascinated by David Goggins and his mentality, so he brought him to live with him for 31 days, and it just absolutely changed his life. And Jesse is, like I said, he's constantly after time, so he's thinking, okay, I'm 40. The average American lives till they're 78. I only have 38 more years, like, if I'm lucky. You know, so he's always talking about time and your age and whatnot. So you thinking about 17 more years to 40, what is that? Does that make a difference in how you live your life?
Kind of, sort of, because what I do notice is I'm a very calculated person. So, like, I literally have this vision in my head to where, okay, I want to obtain this goal by this age, do this by this age, do this by this age. And I mean, like I said, life happens, and I'm beginning to understand that more and more now. But I just have, like I said, I try to have these benchmark goals to at least have something to shoot for. And then if I shoot for it, I mean, maybe it just might come true, maybe. If not, hey, but eventually, hopefully I'll get there, you know?
So when you talk about your goals, do you just like, I want this big goal, I'm gonna get it by this, or do you work backwards and you write down the steps? Like, how do you exactly go after your goals and accomplish them? And have you ever, no, I'm gonna ask that question next. Boom, answer my question.
Run that question by me one more time.
How do you go about accomplishing your goals?
I'm a very, like I said, like I'm a very calculated person. So when I envision a goal for myself, I'm like, okay, all right, I have this goal. Now, what are the steps that I need to do in order to make this goal happen? So when I look at those steps, I'm like, okay, what can I do on this day, and this day to have maybe this goal by the end of the week, or this goal and this goal by the end of the month, or this goal and this goal by the end of the year, so on and so forth. Like, I want to be a person that is always bettering himself every day. I don't want to be a person that's just sitting stagnant, doing God knows what. Because, I mean, like I said, I'm not getting younger, you know? So I might as well live this life like I can and just go for whatever I can. Because I know, like I said, every day is not promised. And to be honest, the Kobe death pretty hit me pretty hard. So
I think it hit everybody really hard.
And I just think it kind of just shows, like, if it can happen to him, it could really happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And the worst part to me was Gigi.
Yeah.
Like, the Gigi thing, like, was the thing that really, like, brought me to tears. Because I was thinking of what I was doing at 13. You know, I was probably playing with Legos, probably running in the sprinklers, you know. I thought I was going to go...
At 13, you're almost in high school.
You know, like I said, I was probably doing stupid stuff. Like, literally, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought I was going to go play in the NBA when I was 13. Mm-hmm. But my thing is just, imagine being so young and not having life the rest of your life to where you can't even realize... Like, you can't even live past your imagination. Like, you can't even experience reality yet. At 13, you haven't drove a car. You haven't maybe even realized what you wanted to do in life. Honestly, just had the chance to really go after your goals, cement them, and like, okay, I want to be able to do this and make it happen. But at 13, you're still just figuring stuff out, enjoying life.
Yeah, and like I said, I feel like the Kobe death hit everyone really hard. Like, I was never a huge follower of what he did. Like, obviously we all know about it, but I wasn't like a die-hard Kobe Bryant, you know? But we all knew who he was because Kobe, you know?
Right,
you like,
right.
You shoot
impact,
the chest,
absolutely,
Kobe,
right?
You know? You know, like, that's just what it is. Like, he's an icon, like, he's a legend, and he will forever be a legend. And like I said, it hit everyone very hard, and it reminds us, moments like that will always remind the masses that life is not promised.
Absolutely.
Death is promised, but, you know, you never know when it's gonna come.
Right.
So for things like that, a lot of us try to say, live in the moment, live every day like it's your last, do as much as you can, but how can you live every day like your last when there's someone at home right now that it's the weekend and on Monday they're gonna have to get up, go to work, maybe after work, work out, and then go eat dinner, and then go home, and then do it all over again? How can you live every day like it's your last? How can you live in the moment? How can you continue to live your life to the fullest? That's what I want to know. Because at the end of the day, we get so caught up in our goals, or we get so caught up in work, or traveling, or family, or relationship issues, that we forget about who we want to become and the bigger picture. So how do you continue to live your life to the fullest?
I mean, within, like, pretty much my busy schedule with everything that's going on, I think the key to doing that is infusing a little bit of you and infusing the things that you enjoy just in little tiny doses every single day. Give yourself something that you want to wake up for every day. You know, whether it's, you know, when I go to the store sometimes, like, I love Cap'n Crunch with berries. I don't know what it is. I'm a big kid, I swear. But every time I go to the store and get the Cap'n Crunch with berries, when I go to bed that day, I'm like, you know what? I'm so excited to wake up tomorrow because I get to eat Cap'n Crunch with berries in it, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, like, I think those little instances that bring yourself joy that you want to, that you're excited to get up for and to experience those little tiny joys in life, you have to try to infuse those in whichever way you can.
Yeah. I agree. I like that. I mean, and that's another thing, too. People think that it needs to be so deep. Like, I'm getting up tomorrow because I'm about to change somebody's life. Like, I don't know, something like that. And, like, that's a good thing to do. But, like, I like waking up and knowing that I'm about to get some Starbucks.
You know what
I'm saying? I'm going to be honest, you know?
Yeah.
Because then it's, like, my day is just off to a good start. I got my venti chai tea latte with soy milk and an extra pump of chai.
Oh, so you
with
basic,
a nitro
basic.
Lid.
Okay.
That's not even basic. Okay.
That's basic.
But I'm just saying, like, we all have things that we're excited for. Like, especially on days like this, I'll tell you, like, my dirty little secret, which, if you know me, you know I hate waking up early. I love the feeling after I wake up early, but I love to get my sleep like I do. And I'm a late night person, so when I wake up kind of late. And days like this, waking up at 5:30, I was happy to do so. I didn't click my alarm, like, none of that. I just woke up because I love podcast days. I love meeting with people, and those are things to definitely wake up for in that sense. But, okay, so let's go back to the goal thing real quick. So regarding, like, goals and someone setting goals, what do you think are some of the most important key factors to keep in mind when setting goals? And don't give me that smart shit, like, smart, what is that? I don't even know. Like, timely, you know, like, the print, like, S-M-A-R-T, smart goals, like, we learned in school.
No,
okay.
We don't work with that.
Thank
no.
you, good, okay, go.
My philosophy is this. When you make a goal, you should make a goal so damn big mm-hmm. that you have no choice but to fall ass backwards into it.
Yeah.
And so what I mean when I say that is, if you want to be like, I don't know, you can wake up and be, you can be, I don't know, a garbage man. Like I said, if you have a passion to be a garbage man, be like, I want to be the best garbage man in the fucking world. I want to put waste management out of business. Okay, how do you do that? I mean, for starters, I'd probably have to make my own company. Okay, what would you want to incorporate in your own company that's gonna make it different from waste management, that's gonna make it that much better? Maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, make it more convenient for people having multiple garbage days during a week as opposed to just one. Okay, why would you do that, or how would you do that? Those little nuances that will allow yourself to create something that is so convenient and so, I guess, how do I put it, so exceptional, you have, like I said, you have no choice but to fall into it. You have this idea, all you have to do is just simply start. If you simply start your goal, you'll somehow finish it.
Yes, and have you ever been in a situation where you set a goal and didn't reach it?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
you'd be lying if you said no.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's literally, you know, and some of my goals that I haven't reached yet are still in progress. Some goals that I'm like, you know what, I kind of decided I don't really want this anymore. You know, kind of discarded it and just put it to the back burner and just continued about my life the way I'm supposed to continue.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, that's normal though. That's the thing. It's like, that's the great thing about goals is you realize when you start to go after it, if you really wanted it in the first place.
Right.
It's okay if you don't.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're just like, I think a lot of people are so focused on the commitment of finishing that thing that you said you were going to finish. Mm-hmm. And they like basically sacrifice their own happiness of, oh, I've got to finish this because I said I would finish it, but I really don't want to because I don't want to do this. You know, but they're like, but I can't look like a quitter.
Right.
So they do it anyway. And maybe they get fulfillment out of reaching that, but at the end of the day, then they're not as happy. Like, okay, I reached something and I did something that I said I was going to do, but I'm not even happy.
Right.
So it's like, what's more important? You saying that you were going to do it and doing it or being happy? You know, so it's like, there's a lot of things that go into that, like the opinions of others, you feeling like pressure, whatever the case may be. But yeah, so goals, boom, you set those, the big goals. Is there anything else that you take into account? Like, obviously you just broke down the whole waste management thing, so breaking down your goals.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a critical part in it. I think part of it is also, you're going to have to make a lot of sacrifices to get to your goal. You can't just sit back, like, you know, sit like this and like, all right, I'm gonna hit my goal by next year and do absolutely nothing about it. You have to be proactive with your goal. If you're not proactive with your goal, what's the point? This is literally just, what's the point? So if you're calculating a plan for it, you can't just, please just don't sit there. I hate people when they just absolutely just sit there, talk about all their goals and do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You really, honestly, the people that even start and mess up are more likely to accomplish their goal before anybody else that sits, dreams, and just envisions this goal and never does anything about it.
I agree 100%. And I, of course, like I mentioned before, you travel a lot. So what's your schedule like for the next year?
Well, it varies because I can get a gig somewhere. I can get a gig in LA, I can get a gig in Miami, I can get a gig in Texas, I can get a gig in London.
It varies.
So whatever things pop off and whatever things, you know, get right, you know, that's where I'm on the next flight to.
Yeah. And do you ever, like, are you open to working with other people, like, locally or just people that they see this podcast and they're like, dang, like, Lanus is crushing it. I want to be able to collaborate with a model like that. Or,
of course.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm all for helping anybody and everybody doing, you know, wanting to do something.
Where would these people find you?
Probably at my social media. It's very simple to remember, you know, my name, L-A-N-I-S, with an extra S, and my last name, Clark, C-L-A-R-K. All socials are the same.
Yeah. What's one of the biggest things that you're looking to do in 2020? Not just maybe a goal, but a skill that you want to acquire or a characteristic that you want to work on. Something in 2020. Or over the next few months.
It's kind of funny that you asked that, because I think my goal in 2020 is actually kind of, you know, coincides with my life goal and the reason why I want to do modeling. So the main reason why I wanted to do modeling is actually to inspire people. And the reason why I wanted to, like, to do it in the first place is because, okay, if people see that I accomplished my goal from where I started, that's gonna motivate them to be like, wow, this man had the most odd childhood, like, you know, experiences ever, and look what he did. Like, literally, he literally turned his, like, I think about it like this. When I go to bed at night, I literally turned my life, my biggest insecurity, into my job. To me, that's the most wild thing to think about.
It is.
Because when I was going to school and things, like, people were just looking at me like, yo, he's kind of weird, you know what I'm saying? Like, he probably never talked to a girl in his life, yada, yada, yada. And, like, now it's like, man, it's crazy. They're asking me like, yo, where have you been? How have you done this? How did you do this? How did you accomplish this? Literally, the man, like, the person that didn't believe in himself and how he looked towards other people is now, like, literally having people look at him walk down a runway for a job.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just...
love it. Lanus, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And this alone, like, I don't care who's listening, I love, like, your point of views and how you talk about, you turn your insecurity into your job. It really does do a lot for people that are in that position, because a lot of people are insecure. Everyone has insecurities, but you can create those strengths. You can turn those into confidences, you know? So I love your point of views, and I know you're going to inspire a lot of people, and you're going to continue to grow and help the masses. So
I really appreciate that. If you take one thing from me, I just want to let you know, you're literally, your biggest weakness has the potential to become your biggest strength if you allow it to.
Yes, agreed. Thank you again for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Woo.